This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:03. It's great to have you with us for the Monday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto. The Noon Business Hour is presented by Republic Bank of Chicago. Right now, the week ahead will include more debate on a pandemic relief bill, plus a meeting of the Fed. Let's talk about it. Richard DeKayser is here, chief corporate economist at Wells Fargo in Washington, D.C. Richard, we expect there'll be a lot of back and forth over another relief bill. In general, though, are economists pretty comfortable that there will at least be some more stimulus, even though we don't know what it'll look like yet?
Oh, absolutely. There's high confidence that there's going to be a big package coming. The president's looking for $1.9 trillion. That's probably not realistic, maybe two-thirds of that amount. Still, anything in the vicinity of $1 trillion, in addition to the $900 billion package that was passed in the last week of December, is enormous. You know, it's not quite as big as what we did last year, $2.2 trillion in total. But second to that, relative to the size of our economy, it would be the biggest ever. So there's a lot of help on the way. And the purpose of all this, of course, is just to get us through to the other side of the vaccine when we've got immunization broadly shared throughout the economy.
Are there certain aspects, whether it's the cash payments or unemployment help, small businesses, I mean, are there certain aspects that are really important that they get included in there, or do we need a really wide-ranging package again?
You know, anything that's generally targeted towards the most needy. So that would be low-income households, small businesses that can make a case for assistance. One of the elements which I particularly don't care for, the $1,400 checks. You know, it is the case today that for those who are working, the personal savings rate in America is at an all-time high. So it's not a question of getting liquid cash into everyone's hands, just into the hands of those who are unemployed or marginally employed. I think that'll frankly get winnowed out through the legislative process. But to be clear, the whole enchilada probably has some elements that are not completely required.
We have a Fed meeting this week. What do you expect to come out of that?
Nothing. The Federal Reserve has made very clear they're not even going to think about raising interest rates for some time to come, and I think that's right. So there may be some discussion regarding what they call quantitative easing or the program to purchase securities, when that might end. They're talking about, you know, towards the end of this year or early next. So those are relatively small issues. They've got their foot on the pedal, and it's going to stay there for some time.
We also have this virtual World Economic Forum. I'm interested in what may come out of that, given the fact that the whole world is kind of in this mess right now.
Well, right. I can't speak to the agenda precisely, but I do know that the coronavirus, not surprisingly, is a big agenda item. And there's a whole lot of issues related to that, having to do with new strains, how the vaccine is being treated, should it be accelerated or delayed, develop new strains, new vaccines to address mutations and so forth. That is the scuttlebutt, broadly speaking.
Thanks so much, Richard DeKayser, chief corporate economist at Wells Fargo in Washington, D.C. Coming up, rethinking where you live because you're now working from home. The ability to work from home is causing more employees to think about their living options. We welcome Michelle Reisdorf, Chicago jobs expert, and Robert Half here in Chicago. Michelle, good to have you back on the show. I guess people who are maybe living in areas that were closer to work or had good public transportation, now they're thinking they don't need that anymore.
That is correct. We show almost 51% of workers are considering relocating because of, you know, things that have changed like that.
And so what options do they have if they're working remotely and they're online? I guess in some respects, they could literally work almost from anywhere.
Yeah, so many more employees are feel really confident about how well employees have transferred to remote workforces. And so, you know, as an employee, you could, if your company allows it, you could honestly look to moving anywhere as long as you're still capable of doing your job.
That means that more employers, sounds like you're saying, they're getting more comfortable with it. At first, many were not comfortable with it, and so they thought this would be temporary. Now here we're almost a year into it. Maybe it's not so temporary.
Right, exactly. You know, I think a lot of employers have seen that employee productivity has continued strong during the remote workforce. And in a lot of cases, they're seeing employees that have put in more hours, you know, because they don't have to deal with things like a commute, et cetera. So they're definitely feeling more confident about a remote workforce.
Now, if employers said, all right, you don't have to commute all the way down here anymore, so maybe we're not going to pay you as much, how do employees feel about that?
Well, we're showing that 75% of employees are not willing to take a pay cut. So, you know, that definitely doesn't feel real good. And, you know, companies are taking a look at what does that look like? You know, do we pay based on the company office location? Do we pay based on the employee's new location? You know, right now, companies are definitely swaying towards paying where the company office is located because it definitely improves retention.
When it comes to people leaving, I wonder if there would be some concern about, hey, I have this job, I like it, I can work remotely, so I move to wherever, name your spot. But then if for some reason you lose that job, it seems like it might be difficult to get a similar sort of job if you've moved.
Well, somewhat maybe, you know, it depends. Again, employers are so open to remote workforce right now that I honestly, I feel like no matter where you move, as long as you're open to a remote search and from a technology standpoint can handle the connection remote, you could pretty much probably get that same job anywhere across the United States.
Does this, the fact that so many people can work remote, what does it do to the talent pool for companies that many of which are used to have people who live somewhat close in order to work there?
Yeah, the remote workforce definitely opens up your talent pool because you have so many more options than what is based in the city that you work in. You know, for large metro markets, you know, of course, you've got a larger employee base, but for some, you know, companies located in some of the smaller cities, if you're open to remote workforce, you can look anywhere.
And when it comes to employers, that's good, right? Because they have this wider pool. When it comes to employees, though, it seems like that's a challenge because there's now more people competing for your job.
Absolutely, for sure. But it also allows you to look at, you know, if you're in a smaller city, it opens up the job opportunities because you can, again, look at larger markets.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah, because you're not just necessarily looking where you live. Thank you so much.
Correct.
Yeah, good insight. Michelle Reisdorf, a Chicago jobs expert at Robert Half here in Chicago. Up next, a jewelry company with a business model that is perfect for the pandemic.
Download the WBBM Noon Business Hour podcast. Or if you missed only a portion, rewind on the radio.com app.
While some businesses are struggling in the pandemic, some others seem especially suited to the current times. Joining us on the ComEd Energy Efficiency Business Line, Nicole Wegman, founder and CEO, RingConcierge.com, based in New York. Nicole, it is good to have you on the show. So for people who are not familiar with Ring Concierge, why don't you give us a thumbnail sketch of what you do?
Sure. Yeah, we are a fine jewelry company, and we sell everything from bracelets and earrings starting at $100 up to engagement rings that cost well into the six figures. So anything and everything jewelry.
And what is it that maybe makes you unique or well positioned during the pandemic to continue to thrive as a business?
Yeah, I mean, luckily, we have always been a digitally native company. Traditionally, the jewelry industry is quite antiquated, family run, male dominated, not necessarily in tune with how millennial women want to shop. And ultimately, women are the drivers in jewelry purchasing decisions. So we've always had a big presence on social media. We've always sold online. We've always been equipped to work with clients remotely, even when they are purchasing, you know, very expensive engagement rings. So we kept running through the pandemic and never had to truly shut down like most brick and mortar stores had to based in New York City.
Yeah, you weren't necessarily having to learn on the fly. Okay, what are we going to do now because people aren't coming in the door?
Exactly. We were always equipped to really understand understand which channels millennials want to shop on. And that did save us, certainly, during the pandemic.
And this probably led you to this. Tell us about this no contact option. I mean, it sort of sounds like jewelry shopping at home, but I'm guessing you're not sending four or five and, you know, $80,000 rings to people's houses.
Exactly. We launched a new line during the pandemic at a more inclusive price point because previously our engagement ring started at $10,000. So we launched this new line that starts at $3,000. And with that, you can order a home try-on kit where you select your three favorite designs and we ship right to your home cubic zirconia versions of the rings you're considering. So you can try them on, you can play with them, you know, have this nice moment with your boyfriend, and then really feel comfortable before pulling the trigger. You know, we call it try before you buy, so that when you do go ahead and purchase the real deal, you know you're going to love how it looks and feels on your hand.
Does that then allow them, I mean, not only is there a safety issue, right, because they don't have to come into the store, but does that also allow them to maybe feel more comfortable because they're not in the showroom, they're not dealing with a designer or a sales consultant? They can literally, in a sort of intimate, private way, decide which one they want.
Exactly. It allows for exactly that because more and more shopping is moving online in every category. So why not also in the luxury sector? But you want, because of the price point, you want people to feel comfortable pulling the trigger. That's why we launched this. So you can still be home and especially right now be safe, but be really sure about this purchase before you pull the trigger.
Yeah, say no contact option. It really is fascinating to see how so many businesses are pivoting during this pandemic. Thank you so much. Good information. Nicole Wegman, founder and CEO of RingConcierge.com, and that is based in New York. Still to come on the Noon Business Hour, important tools to help the first-time investor.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Cisco Cotto. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
This is Bernie Tafoya. Some positive news about the state of Illinois' coronavirus test positivity rate.
Pushback is mounting to President Biden's proposed pandemic relief bill. Jumping into the stock market for the first time can be a challenge. We'll help you avoid some of the potential pitfalls. And it is Stock Picker Monday. We'll get help with a couple of suggestions from an investing pro. On the markets right now, the Dow down 70, NASDAQ is up 59, and the S&P is up 5 points. Oil is up right about 0.5%. We have clouds in Chicagoland. Again, we have some snow on the way, 4 to 8 inches of snow. That winter storm warning begins at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Illinois is seeing some improvement in the battle against COVID-19.
For the first time since mid-October, the state's coronavirus test positivity rate is under 5%. It's at 4.8%. Hospitalizations are down too. There are nearly 3,000 people in the hospital with COVID-19 in Illinois, 321 of them on ventilators. Meanwhile, today is when Phase 1B starts for the state's COVID-19 vaccination program. That means those 65 and older and essential workers, such as teachers, grocery store workers, and first responders, are eligible to be vaccinated. So far, more than 680,000 people in Illinois have received their immunization shots. Bernie Tafoya, News Radio, 105.9 FM.
The White House is negotiating with lawmakers on a COVID relief package as President Biden faces resistance in his effort to win bipartisan backing for the bill.
The package includes $1,400 in direct payments to most Americans and $160 billion for vaccine distribution. Many Senate Republicans are worried about the bill's overall price tag. After a bipartisan meeting yesterday, Senator Susan Collins said she'd like to work on a more targeted package. And senators from both parties raised questions about those direct payments to Americans and whether they should be based on need. I'm Julie Walker.
It's 12:32.
Discussing the news affecting your money. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The Noon Business Hour presented by Republic Bank of Chicago. Markets are mixed right now. Gary Kaltbaum is here, president of Kaltbaum Capital Management. You can find him online at GaryK.com. Gary, always good to have you on the show. We have the Dow down 55, NASDAQ up 53, S&P up 7. What do you make of what you're seeing on Wall Street today?
Well, there's probably a run on Xanax right now. The NASDAQ moved 300 points up and down within a matter of an hour. There's been wild short squeezes in certain names, and hopefully you did not buy the high tick of the day. And it's worrisome. There's just a lot of froth and speculation out there where not only earnings do not matter, but sales do not matter. I'm sure you've been talking about these SPACs, these blind pools. It's just something everybody just to be careful about, make sure they know exactly what they're getting into.
You mentioned, you used that phrase, short squeeze. Kind of help the lay investor understand what that is. And is that what went on with GameStop today? I mean, it was up 80%. Now it's only up about 6%.
Yeah, basically what it means is there's a certain amount of float of shares on the stock, and that's tradable. And there are more shares short betting on the downside than the whole float. And in order to cover your short, you have to buy back stock. And when the stock gets on a run, they squeeze it up. So they had it up to $159 early today. It's now $69. And that's what I mean by, you know, just don't be the last one in. Know what you're getting into. Somebody got squeezed out or paid $159 for something that was $20 two weeks ago and was up monstrously today. So just be careful. This is an outcome of real easy money by central banks, and there's just a ton of froth and speculation out there. I can list 100 to 200 names with no sales that have doubled and tripled in the last few weeks. And that's usually not good news for the market in the intermediate term.
Well, and that's where it's, again, speak to that sort of novice investor. It's a little frustrating, I think, because they're constantly told fundamentals, look at the earnings. I mean, you know, really look at those data points. And yet they see people making money on some of these sexy stocks that don't necessarily have those earnings.
Well, 90 some odd percent of the time, it is about earnings. And it's always about earnings in the long run. But in the short run, you get moments in time like this where nothing matters. It's just people in chat rooms or on these Reddit rooms where somebody mentions, hey, this thing's 100% short. Let's buy it. It feeds on itself and it gets going like crazy. You've got these SPACs where they're just injecting companies that are startups with absolutely not even a product. And they're doubling and tripling in the day. Why? Because the last one doubled. And that's the type of froth and speculation that usually leads to some real good corrective work that wipes out the froth and speculation. And my message to everybody is just know where you're getting into and know where the stock came from. And bottom line is if you buy a stock today at $159 that was $20 two weeks ago, you're going to earn big losses. So just be careful.
Well, yeah, that's another thing, yeah, too, to certainly take a look at that chart and see what's been going on.
Yeah.
Is that a sort of a game? I mean, it almost seems like it's a game among some people. Hey, let's see how we can play around with this stock and maybe make some money and maybe not, but either way, have some fun. It's not a good way to have fun necessarily.
It's not a game. It's real world. People seeing massive gains being made. Ooh, let me join in and hopefully somebody pays higher than what I'm paying. But always, and let me repeat that word, always, at the end of the day, when you get into this environment, it always ends and always ends badly. And companies that are trading with $5 billion market caps with no sales will drop 90% when the music dies. I have no clue when the music dies on all this. I just know it will one day. And let's hope it lasts for a while so a lot of people can make a lot of money. Just do not be the last one in.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you so much, Gary Kaltbaum. You can find him online at GaryK.com. Just ahead, things you need to know before becoming a first-time investor. Later in the show, 12:49, it's Stock Picker Monday.
Investing 60 minutes each weekday toward planning for the future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
People delving into the stock market for the first time should keep some fundamentals in mind. Joining us on the ComEd Energy Efficiency Business Line, Ed Jurtzen, Certified Financial Planner, founder of Engage Wealth Group, online at EngageWealthGroup.com. Ed, it's good to have you with us. You know, we keep hearing about how expensive stocks are these days in a lot of sectors. Is this even a good time for people to get in, or is it always a good time?
Great question, Cisco. It's always a good time to get invested. But the challenge is, again, as your previous guest had pointed out, all the speculation is creating this whole fear of missing out. And individual investors have to understand that there should be a core part of your portfolio, let's say your retirement plan, your 401k plan, and then potentially some fund money. So when your friends talk about all the ways that they're making money, at least you're participating in that conversation, but not in a way that's detrimental to your portfolio.
See, so many people moving in and out of the market, you know, trying to make a percent here or there, 3% here or there. If you're a first-time investor, is that the kind of strategy you want, to just go in and make quick money?
So that's the unfortunate part of today's environment. You look at a lot of these stocks where people, first-time investors, are making a lot of money potentially, and then they're like, wow, this is an easy game, only down the road to be very hit across the head, if you would, because of the losses in their portfolio. If you're going to be an active investor, which you should be active in, is dollar cost averaging and not trying to guess if a stock's going to be up 3% or down 3% on the day.
Help us to understand, what is dollar cost averaging?
Well, what it is you have a monthly commitment in terms of how much money you're going to be putting in the market. So let's say, for instance, you have a 401k plan, and every time you get paid, you put money into a portfolio and it buys shares. The higher the price of the shares, the lower amount that you're going to be getting. But as the markets go down, it's actually a good time because that dollar commitment is actually buying more shares. And over time, it sort of balances out how much money you're putting into the market. So again, whether the market's high or low, you're on this consistent investment path.
So if you're not buying the what we call the sexy stocks, the stocks that everyone's talking about, those that are really hot, if you're looking at the fundamentals, if you're buying stocks where they're really good companies, is the approach, as opposed to the quick sell, quick profit, that you want to plan on holding on to these for a while? And how do you know if so? How do you know how long you should?
Well, it's another very good question. And ultimately, again, it's a fundamental core portfolio. You have a diversified portfolio that you're investing in on a regular basis across all stocks and all sectors. And again, if you have an interest in a particular stock or a particular sector, then do your research, do your due diligence, and put some small amounts of money in there. But again, being able to buy or having the analysis to buy is one thing. Knowing when to sell, that is the most troubling and often wrought with financial behavior issues in terms of losing from that standpoint.
Well, it's the emotion. I mean, you're just afraid that I'm going to sell at the wrong time and the stock's going to go up. And really having those clear lines and sticking to them is so important. And yet it is so difficult.
It is. The investment pendulum swings from greed to fear, sometimes within days and over times over years. And we're starting to see that today. We're starting to see that pendulum get to the greed side, where, again, you talk to friends and they're making all these monies and all these stocks that you were talking about. But ultimately, again, if they don't have a sell discipline, they may see their portfolio take a pretty big hit. But ultimately, again, if you have an interest in a particular stock, please know what you're buying into, and then understand if those fundamentals change or something's not quite right with the reason why you purchased that stock. That's where that sell discipline comes in.
Earlier, you touched on diversity. Tell us a little more about that. Are we talking sectors or sizes of companies or value growth? I mean, what are we talking about when we say be diverse in your portfolio?
Great question. Diversification is about taking your assets and putting them into different areas of the economy. So right now, what's driving the market are very, very large companies. Some of the more unfavored areas would be smaller company stocks and or mid-company stocks, especially stocks that have lost value over time. And so you're not trying to guess what particular sector is going to do well over the next. You're just putting your money in different areas, domestically and internationally, just to make sure that if one area tends to rise and another falls, overall, you've got that good upward path of that portfolio over time.
Thanks so much, Ed Jurtzen, Certified Financial Planner, founder of Engage Wealth Group, found online at engagewealthgroup.com. Great insight, Ed. Join us at this time tomorrow for Travel Tuesday when we explore African safaris.
Because money matters. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's Stock Picker Monday on the Noon Business Hour, sponsored by Wealth Management Group. Matt Mategan is here, CEO of Blue World Asset Managers. He's online at blueworldam.com. Matt, it's good to have you with us. What's your first pick?
First is BGS. That's Beta Gamma Sam. That's the symbol for B&G Foods Holding Company, whose founding firm has been operating out of Parsippany since the late 1800s. Their business is the manufacture, sale, and distribution of shelf-stable food and home products in the U.S., Canada, and Puerto Rico. This company is behind some very big household names, Cream of Wheat, Green Giant, to name a couple. And that makes it a little bit surprising that a company this seasoned and successful is so low on the radar screen, typically trading less than 2 million shares a day. But today it's been a kind of a wild ride, and I haven't had time to go and find out why. But regardless, this is a very affordable company and a definite dividend play, as they consistently pay over 5%. In fact, they started the day over 6%. Now they're sitting at about 5.75% with the move today. But we really, really like this one for a stable dividend.
All right. What's your second pick?
When I was on the show last April, I talked about a new ETF that was specific to the electronic gaming industry called NERD. Corsair Gaming trades under CRSR. It's a fairly recently listed company and added as a component to that NERD ETF, and it outperforms the average of the exceptionally well-performing ETF, which is still a bit of a secret because it's still only trading around 100,000 shares today. But Corsair serves both gamers and content creators with hardware like keyboards, headsets, that kind of thing, as well as development software for the content producers. So they're in a pretty solid niche.
Oh, that sounds really good. That's two picks today, B&G Foods and Corsair Gaming. Here's those ticker symbols again, BGS and CRSR. Thank you so much, Matt Mategan, CEO of Blue World Asset Managers. He's our Monday stock picker. You'll find past programs later today, a podcast of this hour at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the Radio.com app.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.